This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أمين يا رب العالمين وأوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. We praise Him, we thank Him, we declare His perfection and our own imperfections. We ask Him to send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and those that follow until the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we are in very rare territory. This is a territory that we are in right now that people would wish that they would have been able to achieve, that people would wish they would have been able to live to see, which is the last 10 nights of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. These are the best 10 nights of the entire year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that opportunity. And we saw so many people that we lost, even from this community, beloved to us, right before these last 10 nights. And not only should we be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allowed us to see them, but at the same time that Allah azza wa jalla has given us the opportunity to worship in peace. And if you've seen the images that come from overseas where you have in Gaza the bombs that are falling and still in Syria and in Burma and in the Central Africa Republic and these different places where there are massacres going on right now, you find people gathering to pray Taraweeh, gathering for iftar, gathering to pray Taraweeh, as the bombs are falling. SubhanAllah, they're heartbreaking images to imagine a people praying Salah, praying their Taraweeh, and they have bombs that are falling upon them at the same time, but still they are gathered and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their concern is whether or not they would have anything to break their fast with when the time of iftar comes. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing, the opportunity that He's given to us to be able to worship Him in peace during the last 10 nights. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and from our brothers and sisters overseas. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them victory and patience. Allahumma ameen. But dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about coming to these 10 nights and doing the extra ibadah, the extra acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed to Ramadan, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the opportunity to do in Ramadan, the question that we should all be asking ourselves is, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really want from me? What does Allah Azza wa Jalla want me to do in these last 10 nights? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do in Ramadan? Because too often, ibadat, the acts of worship, are not about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, but it's about what makes us feel good. And so we come together and mashallah, we have beautiful Qur'an in the city, beautiful reciters that recite the Qur'an, and it's amazing to stand and to listen to them and to enjoy the recitation, right? And sometimes you find people that say, well, I'll only pray behind the imam, I'll only pray extra if he has a nice voice. If he doesn't have a nice voice, I can't have khushu'. So I want to enjoy my recitation. So that's why your masjid gets flooded, mashallah. You have a beautiful qadi. A lot of people come from other places, right? They want to enjoy the recitation. I want to enjoy Ramadan. And that felt amazing last night, you know, that feeling of tawwif, that feeling of qiyam al-layl and tahajjud. You know, the lecture that I heard last night, all of that felt amazing. But the point is, dear brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive you if you felt amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you if your ibadah, if your act of worship met His standard. It met what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expected of you and wanted of you in this month. And so the first thing that we have to be asking ourselves is whether or not we're coming out of this month free from the sins that we fasted from during it. SubhanAllah, throughout this month you'll find people from their fitrah, from their natural disposition, you know, as they are driving, as they are going through the motions of the day of fasting, and a conversation comes up where they know they're not supposed to engage in that backbiting, and they say, I'm fasting. You know, you hold yourself a little bit more because you don't want to jeopardize your fasting. Or you see something pops up on the computer screen. It's a news article, it's an image on the sidebar. It's something there. And you're a little bit more conscious in Ramadan, so you say, I can't look at that because I'm fasting. I don't want to jeopardize my fast. The goal is that we come out of this month, and instead of saying, I'm fasting, we say, I'm Muslim. Right? And that's enough for me to stay away from these sins, because the sins still hold the same significance that they held inside of Ramadan. And as the Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, what's the point? What's the point of spending an entire month of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you follow it up with the same evil that you brought with you to it? And so the first thing we need to ask ourselves is, what is the quality of our istighfar? What's the quality of our seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because on these 10 nights, and in fact any night that you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Qiyam al-Layl, there is nothing greater that you can achieve than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving you. And that's why the greatest of the statements that Allah azza wa jalla makes as He descends to the lowest heaven in a way that befits Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is when He says, هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ أَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? And when you talk about seeking forgiveness and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really crying about your sins, and wallahi, I want you all to take this as an assignment. Over these next 10 nights, every single night, I want you to sit with yourself and I want you to think about a sin that you've committed or a sin that you are committing or a bad quality that you have, one of the muhlikat, the destructive flaws, a disease of the heart, a character flaw, a sinful behavior. I want you to think for half an hour, just to sit with yourself and to cry over that sin and to build resolve that you won't return to it. And to promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that that's the end of that sin. I buried that sin on the 21st night of Ramadan. And to actually make a game plan for yourself. That's how you witness that beautiful night of Laylatul Qadr. That's how you witness the momentous occasion that takes place every single night, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers you a chance for forgiveness. Because if Allah azza wa jalla forgives you, that's greater than anything else that you can achieve from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, you know, a lot of times we don't value that forgiveness. And because we don't value that forgiveness, our ibadat lack quality as well. You know, you think about Hajj, for example. When you go to Hajj, people, even if you took the cheapest package, and you struggled the most, and you walked the most, right? You had to walk miles, you had to walk the entire Hajj, you didn't have a bus, you barely had to fetch food. But for those 5 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you for all of your sins. Forgives you for all of your sins. You know, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it even if Allah azza wa jalla was to hang you upside down and to have you beaten for 5 days? Of course it's worth it. Likewise, Ramadan. مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever fasts Ramadan with faith and seeking the reward, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive him for all of his sins. The same wording, the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Whoever stands up on a night of Qadr, إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنب. With iman, with faith, and seeking the reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him for all of his sins. The same reward, as if the Prophet is telling us that you can redeem yourself if you do what you have to do for that one night. You can redeem yourself and you can cover the rest of Ramadan, everything else that you've missed. If you go to that night with the proper mindset, with the proper attitude, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking redemption in the sight of Allah azza wa jalla. And dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not just teach us to make istighfar and to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we've done something bad or when we've done something wrong. And it shows in his personality more than anyone else that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his entire, prophethood, his entire nubuwwah, in fact his entire life, Allah azza wa jalla made him ma'soom. He made him infallible. But still, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I've never seen anyone who sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would make istighfar over 100 times in one sinning, saying, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Oh my Lord, forgive me and accept my repentance because you are the acceptor of repentance and the most merciful. What was the Prophet ﷺ seeking forgiveness for? Was he seeking forgiveness for something he did wrong? Or was he seeking forgiveness because he didn't feel like he did enough right? And that's the key over here. Rasulullah ﷺ tells us on the Day of Judgment, as Allah Azza wa Jalla sets up the mawazin, as he sets up the scales, and those scales are so vast that if you were to place the entire heavens and the entire earth in that scale, لَوَزِنَتْهُمْ, it would weigh them accurately, وَلَوَسِعَتْهُمْ, and it would fit them completely. Meaning it could fit the entire heavens and the earth, it's that big and it's that accurate, that it could weigh them without missing anything. And Rasulullah ﷺ says that whenever that happens, there's one creation that's witnessing Allah Azza wa Jalla setting up those scales, and this is a creation that really doesn't have to worry about anything. Right? And that is the creation of the Malaika, the creation of the angels. If there is any creation on the Day of Judgment that doesn't have to worry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishing them and doesn't have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the Malaika. Everybody else has to be in fear. But the angels, as they see those scales set up, Rasulullah, they say, Ya Rabb, miman yazinuha? Who is this scale supposed to weigh for? What's this being set up for? And Allah Azza wa Jalla responds, لِمَنْ أَشَاءُ مِنْ خَلْقِ, for whoever I will for my creation. And the Malaika, the angels, who did nothing but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respond by saying, سُبْحَانَكَ مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادِكَ. How perfect and glorious are you. We have not worshipped you as much as you deserve to be worshipped. We did not give you as much ibadah as you deserve, O Allah. Keep in mind here, you have malaika that have done nothing but make sujood from the beginning of time to the end of time. Their creation was in sujood and they left this world in sujood and they rose in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nothing on their record except for sujood. But even the angels feel that sense of awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, we have not worshipped you enough. Why do they say that? Because they haven't sinned. They haven't done anything wrong. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what He commands them. But at the same time, they recognize how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And when you recognize how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you recognize the reality of yourself as well. The greater Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes in your sight, the smaller you become in your own sight. And that's the case of the malaika. And then what about human beings who actually have to worry about not having enough good deeds and having too many sins? Who have to worry about the sins that they've committed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the complaint on the Day of Judgment, dear brothers and sisters, is not مَا عَبَدُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِ, that they didn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should have been worshipped. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. The complaint is that they didn't take Allah seriously enough. They didn't give Allah His due estimation. They didn't realize how amazing their Creator was. Had they realized that, then they would have felt a sense of awe, and they would have felt a sense of gratitude, and they would have felt a sense of shame for that which they've done. Because it's not just ibadah that we have to worry about. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. On the day of judgment, every soul will know that which it put forward of sins and of shortcomings, and that which it lagged behind, that which it left behind, the opportunities that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them to worship, that which they could have done that they didn't fully take advantage of. That creates a sense of humility in a person to where he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. That's the thing that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was talking about when he spoke to the tabi'een, when he spoke to the next generation. He said, you know, you people, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the companions. And that's a feature of the second generation of Muslims. You find that they used to pray a lot more, they used to fast a lot more, right? You find things from the second generation, from the children of the Sahaba, acts of ibadah, that were not found amongst the Sahaba. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, you people, you do things that we did not used to do. You have acts of worship that we did not used to do. But at the same time, the companions beat you because the way they saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was different from anything that you could ever achieve. The way they viewed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said the same thing to the tabi'een, and he said, but you do things, you commit deeds, and you consider them to be halal that we, the companions, would have considered to be kaba'ir. We would have seen them as major sins. Meaning what? The violations, the gray area, right? That it might be halal things. You do those things and you're fine with them. We, the companions, we saw those as major sins. Meaning what? The way they viewed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even amongst the Sahaba, there were different categories. There was the category of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who the Prophet said, لَوْ وُزِنَ إِيمَانُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَإِيمَانُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لَرَجَحَ إِيمَانُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. If you were to put the iman of everyone on a scale, and on the opposite end, just put the faith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Bakr's iman was greater than everyone else's iman put together. Everyone in here, all generations of people, excluding the Anbiya, excluding the Prophets, if you put their iman on a scale, and you put Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's iman on the opposite, Abu Bakr's iman was greater. And Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah says, مَا سَبَقَ الصَّحَابَ بِكَثْرَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ. It's not that he beat the companions with praying more and by fasting more. سَبَقَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ وَقَرَ فِي صَلَّهِ. He beat them with something that was in his heart. The way he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the same description that was given of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala from Salih ibn Kaysan. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَلَّهُ أَعْظَمُ فِي صَدْرِهِ مِنْ هَذَا الْغُلَامِ. I've never seen anyone who Allah is greater in his heart than this young man. It wasn't that he used to pray a lot more. No, his wife says he only used to pray 2 rak'ahs of Qiyam al-Layl every single night. But the 2 rak'ahs of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz were greater than all of our rak'ahs put together. It's how you view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the fear and the humility that you have as you're still standing up at night, as you're still worshiping Allah, as you're still breaking your fast on that day when it was really hot, and when you were really hungry and thirsty, and as you're breaking it, you're still making istighfar because you're saying, this still isn't enough, oh Allah. That characteristic, that attribute, that attitude. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayah in the Qur'an, أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. That they rush towards good deeds, that they are the ones who rush to good deeds. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet said, Ya Rasulullah, are these the people that steal and commit zina? Right? Are these the people that have made big mistakes in their lives, and that's why they rush to do good deeds? Because you know that feeling of guilt, that temporary guilt, unfortunately it's usually temporary, that temporary guilt that comes right after committing a sin, usually it spurs you to do a good deed. Right? It makes you rush to do something else. Is that what this is talking about, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَا عَائِشَ نَوْا عَائِشَ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يُصَلُّونَ. They're the ones that are praying. وَيَصُمُّونَ. And they're the ones that fast. وَيُصَدِّقُونَ. And they're the ones that give charity. وَهُمْ يَخَافُونَ. And all the while they are afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it from them. Allahu Akbar. These are the ones that are always rushing towards good deeds. Why? Because they never feel like they've done enough. They never feel like they've done enough. And there is that great dua that I want you to think about, which if you don't memorize it, you need to memorize it. Sayyidul Istighfar, the chief of seeking forgiveness. The Prophet ﷺ called it the master of seeking forgiveness. And just think about the wording of that hadith, the wording of that dhikr. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man mata alayha dakhala al-jannah," whoever dies upon those words will enter Jannah. In another riwayah, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you say that dhikr, that forgiveness, that seeking forgiveness during the night, and you die before the day, you enter Jannah. If you say it in the morning and you die throughout the day, you enter into Jannah. What is it? Allahumma anta Rabbi. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. Allahumma anta Rabbi la ilaha illa ant. There is no God besides you. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk. You created me and I am your slave. You know, the greatest favor that anyone can do for you is to create you, is to actually bring you into existence. And that's why from human beings, there's no one greater than your mom, the favor of your mother. If she was the means by which you were brought to existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the first. Allah azza wa ta'ala brought you to existence. So just by that, by virtue of that, you are always indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقْتَنِي, you created me, O Allah. وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ, and I am your slave. Meaning even if you were to torture me, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you nothing, even if Allah azza wa ta'ala put us in Gaza, or put us in Syria, or put us in Burma, wherever it may be, put us in a situation where we have to fetch food, and where we're starving, and we can't even eat or drink, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in that situation, He still deserves to be worshipped and sought forgiveness from. And those people understand that. They understand that. Because Allah already gave you enough. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, as he narrates, لَوَعَذَّبَ اللَّهُ أَهْلَ صَلَوَاتِ وَأَهْلَ أَرْضِي لَعَذَّبَهُمْ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ مِنَّهُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish all of us, He would punish us without being a zalim, without being an oppressor in any way. And think about what that means. You created me, that's enough, O Allah. You gave me the opportunity. خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ. And so I am your slave, and a slave has no right to make demands of his Lord. And a lot of us, through these last 10 nights, the entire 10 nights, you'll spend asking Allah for more things. But you should be humbling yourself. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things, but you should be humbling yourself and asking Allah for forgiveness. That's the greatest thing that you can do. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَسْتَطَعْتُ. I am to your covenant and to the promise that we made, that I made. مَسْتَطَعْتُ. I will do my best. I know I can't do everything, but I'll do my best. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتُ. I seek refuge in Allah, O you, O Allah, from the evil that I've committed. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. You see, you can't disconnect istighfar, seeking forgiveness, from gratitude. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ. I admit to you, O Allah, the blessings that you've provided to me. وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. And I admit my own shortcomings, my own sins in needing those blessings. You know, subhanAllah, Iblis, what was the crime of Shaytan? What caused him to rebel? He wasn't considering what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. What the position that Allah put him in. A jinn who was able to be amongst the angels, to be amongst the malaika in Jannah and have all of that. He wasn't paying attention to them. But instead, what was he paying attention to? Why Adam? Why did you give it to him? Right? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ. I'm better than him. And that's what caused his downfall, and that's what caused his arrogance, and that's what voided everything that he did. Everything that he put forth up to that point. It wasn't a lack of ibadah. It was a lack of gratitude, a lack of humility. It was that bad attitude that caused Iblis to fall. And what did he say he would do to us? وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You'll find that they won't be grateful. Because if they're not grateful, they won't worship you properly. They won't seek forgiveness from you. They won't recognize what you've done for them. They won't see you as great as you really are. And so they will see themselves instead as greater and deserving of more. And that kills your spirituality. So you admit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. I admit to you, O Allah, the blessings that you've given to me, وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي, and I admit my sins, I admit my shortcomings, I know that I've fallen short, and that I could have done better, I know that I haven't done enough, فَغْفِرْ لِي, so forgive me, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ, because no one forgives except for you. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah, what did he say? He said that a person keeps on committing a sin, and he keeps sincerely seeking forgiveness for it, but he goes back to it, but that doesn't stop him from saying astaghfirullah and constantly seeking forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because he knows that he has a love. He knows that he has a Lord that loves to forgive. He understands he has a love, a Lord that loves to forgive. And that is enough. Just knowing that, knowing that you have a Lord that loves to forgive is enough if you are truly trying and you are making your effort. And the greatest du'a that we can make in these last 10 nights, Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. O Allah, you are the one who pardons, you love to pardon. So pardon me, forgive me, and overlook my shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all and to overlook all of our shortcomings. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ويسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, there was a man in a time of Jahiliyyah, and I want you to go home with the story and thinking about the story and think about it for the rest of your 10 nights. A man from the days of Jahiliyyah by the name of Abdullah ibn Jud'an. Now Abdullah ibn Jud'an was a man that was hated by his society, a loser. He failed at everything in life. He failed in his career. He failed with his family. He couldn't get along with people. And subhanAllah, one time, he actually considered committing suicide. And so he went to the caves, and as he went to a cave, he saw the shadow of a snake. And it was a python ready to strike, and so he got scared. Then he realized that it wasn't moving. And so he went into that cave, and he found that it was made of gold. It was a snake made of gold, and that the eyes of that snake were emeralds. SubhanAllah, he looked further, and he found that that cave was full of the tombstones of the tribe of Jurhum, the royals of Jurhum, and treasures. And their tombstones were made of gold, and they had rubies, and he discovered the treasures of Jurhum, the tribe that came to Ismail alayhi salam and Hajar when they were in that situation. And so he became a rich man. SubhanAllah, we read about him throughout Jahiliyyah. He was one of the people that was responsible for Hifz al-Fudul, for the League of the Just that ensured the rights of people. He used to give charity to everyone. If someone was in need, he would send you camels, he would send you food, he would send you drink. He used to host the people that came for Hajj at that time. He did all of these amazing things. And in Sahih Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said that Ibn Jud'an كان يصل الرحم, he used to establish good ties with his kin. ويكرم الضيف, and he used to take care of his guests. ويكرم المساكين, and he used to take care of the poor. Will this benefit him at all of this that he's done? Everything that he's put forward? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it won't benefit him one bit. لأنه لم يقل في يوم قط, because he never said in a single day of his life, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. Oh Allah, forgive me for my sins on the Day of Judgment. Because he never once sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of his millions of dollars of charity, everything that he put forth, was worthless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As believers, we do, we give, we show gratitude. اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. Work, O family of David, O family of Dawood alayhi salam, in a way that expresses your gratitude. We live shukr. We give, we talk, we act, we show in a way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are grateful for what He has given to us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we realize the goal of Ramadan, the first goal of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The second goal of Ramadan, after you've attained taqwa and piety, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. that you come to a state of gratitude. We ask Allah to make us from a shakirin, those who are grateful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our faults in our good deeds and in our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy.